Simon Peites, but the shocks of Kut and Yud, I didn't get the words now. We never do this anyway, we always wait 6 hours, so the issue never comes up. But we had the Gemara yesterday, the Gemara talks about three kinds of Netilas of Daim, Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim, and Mayim Emtzoyim. So Mayim Rishonim is if you want to eat bread, you want to eat a Dovish and Tivula B'mashke, is the Gemara in the end of Pesachim, so that's a real din, you have to wash Mayim Rishonim. Mayim Achronim, and you say a bracha, Shekadashana B'mitzvah, so it's one on Netilas of Daim, Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah, it's a Mitzvah. Mitzvah mit der Rabbanan, and you recite the Birchas HaMitzvah, like kol HaMitzvahs kulam avarach alayim ma'avalas diyasim. That's a general takon. Mayim Achronim is a chayva, Tosfos quotes the halachas gedolos. It's something you have to do mishum sakone, because of the Melech Sedoimis, if there's a concern, Tosfos says that they didn't bother to wash Mayim Achronim, because Melech Sedoimis was not Motzei Beneim, and it's something you have to do mishum sakone, but it's not really labeled as a mitzvah, so there's no takonis Birchas HaMitzvah. Then you have... I don't know. Good question. The Gemara has two reasons. One reason is because of Melech Sedoimis, and that reason applies even if you benched already and you didn't have Mayim Achronim, so then you should wash Mayim Achronim later after you bench. And the other reason the Gemara gives is that as a hachon of a benching, kishen shemizuam posel la'avoida kach edayim zuham is psulus lebracha. That if a person is a mezuham or behema is a mezuhemis, strictly speaking, is not a balmum. A kain is a balmum, is possible to do akrova. Or behema that's a balasmum is possible to akrova. But if the behema looks sickly and the person is old and falling apart, well, he didn't, strictly speaking, doesn't have any mum. But he's mezuham. He looks awful. So the Gemara says it's not right. He shouldn't be makrov karbonis. Kashem shem mezuham possible avoid a kach yadai mezuham is psulis lebroch. If the fingers are dirty, you say, not allowed to say any bracha, not only birchas hamazon. Can't say barnefashis either. Let's say a person had a popsicle and it dripped all over his fingers and he's licking all the fingers and everything is sticky. He wants to say barnefashis, then he wants to go to the kitchen and wash his hands. So he has to reverse the order. First he has to wash his hands and then he says the barnefashis. That's a din in any bracha. See, if that's the case, if his fingers are sticky to the extent that afterwards he's clearly going to wash them. He's not going to touch, he learns all day long, he's not going to touch any sefer or any book with these sticky fingers. He's going to make a stain on the page. He's not going to touch his clothing, going to make a stain on his clothing. So that's called Yadai Mizuhama. So that's Taka
Din. That wouldn't require a kli. And then it's all you're doing is getting off dirt. That doesn't require a kli.
I don't remember, and if you're worried about Melech Sedoimis, does the Gemara say you do need a kli? I don't remember. For Mayim Achronim, does the Gemara say you need a kli? You don't need a kli? What?
The
you do need a kli.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
Where does the Ruach Ra aspect
of
the Shachar
Ruach Ra of Mayim Achronim, that's in the Gemara. The Gemara said there's an issue of Ruach Ra. Yeah. That's a Gemara. So that's the Gemara in Kuf Hamad Aleph. So Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah that you say a bracha, and the soldiers in the army don't have to do that mitzvah if they don't have enough water. Abad Varm Patra Bamachana, the Mishnah, the end of the first parak in Erevin. And Mayim Achronim is a chayva, it's an ishke mitzvah. It's in a sense, it's more chomer than a mitzvah. Even the soldiers in the army have to take care of their health. They shouldn't rub the Melech Sedoimis into their eyes. So the Gemara there in Erevin says they have to wash Mayim Achronim. And on the other hand, it's not a mitzvah. It's something you have to do. It's not a mitzvah like salting flesh and like trebring, like nikar achela bagid. You have to do it, but it's only a hechsher. It's not actually a mitzvah. So that's why no bracha is recited. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Bahag. Then you have the mayim emtzoyim. What is a reshus? What is mayim emtzoyim? So that was, we had the Vilna Gaon referred it to the machlekes, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos. So the Rashbam understood the Mayim Emtzoyim is a reshus in between the kugel and the cholent, in between the gefilte fish and the soup. So what's the reshus? So mafunik, if you want to wash, gesuntei, but it's absolutely not halachic. But if you want to have a fleishig meichel and a milchig meichel in the same meal, then it's medina that you have to wash the Mayim Emtzoyim. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? The Gemara's talking about Mayim Emtzoyim between kugel and cholent and fish and soup. What's an afkamina? Mefunokim. Istanism. He doesn't believe that's what it means. Rabbeinu Tam learns that it means he's eating a tapshul shal chalav and a tapshul shal basar, in the same meal, and you don't need 6 hours because it's not basar, it's only tapshil shal basar. So then the netilas yadayim is only a rishus. So that's in the Shulchan Aruch. They're assuming not like the Rabbein Tam. As long as the Gaon writes in Yud Gimel and Tezvav, this is all a pirush Rabbein Shmuel. The Rambam is following the Rashbam that it's a rishus goes between flesh and flesh, between milk and milk, but between tapshil shal cholam and tapshil basar, you have to have netilas yadayim midina. So here this shach and Sivkot and Yud quotes the Orchas Chaim, the Rishon, in the name of the Ravid. And it's a little bit unclear what in the world is he talking about. So on the side, on the page, the Chidush at Beis Meir tells you, look in the Minchas Yaakov, on the bottom of the... I'm Pirush HaDvar, Minchas Yaakov, Klal Ayin Vav. On the bottom of the Torah Schatos. The Ramo wrote a Sefer Torah Schatos, but he quotes the Mordechais and the Taisusin and the Mahari Yisalin and Trumas Hadesh, and he quotes all the Rishayim and he gives you the Psak Halacha. And that's what the Shach keeps on quoting from the Torah Schatos. Everything in the Ramah here is based on what he quoted over there, and based on what he wrote in the Darkei Moshe. So on the bottom of the page, they have printed in all the editions of the Torah Schatos, they have the commentary by the author of the Chok Yankif. The Chok Yankif is on the bottom of the page in Hilchas Pesach. You have the Magen Avraham and the Taz, and then you have on the bottom of the page, he was after the Magen Avraham and the Taz, he was later, so he wrote a Sefer Chok Yankif. His name was Yankov. Yankov Reisha. He was the rabbi in Reisha. Reisha is a big city. That's where the airport is in Poland. The airport is 2x0, but it's a big city. So they always had prominent rabbanim in Reisha. So this rabbi Yankov Reisha has a commentary on the An Yankov. He has the Iyun. His name is Yankov. So his commentary is called Iyun Yankov. He takes every agadah and he tries to interpret it based on halacha. Usually doesn't go into agoda. Every agoda he finds some gem of halacha, or he tries to interpret it based on halacha. Not like all the others. He's only strictly halacha. Then on the Torah Schat he has the Minchas Yankov on the bottom of the page. So here, this Ravid that's quoted by the Shach and Sivkot and Yud is very unclear. What's he talking? Shivsha Begufa, Bekoisel, and Hesach Hadas. What's he talking about? So in the Minchas Yaakov on the bottom of the page of the Torah Schatos, he quotes a Tshuvas HaRaivid that's printed in the Tmim Deim, where the Raivid explains himself a little better. So that's what he writes here on the side of the page, in the Chidush HaBeis Meir. Look in the Minchas Yaakov, and he quotes the Raivid in full, so you'll understand what he's talking about. It's not too relevant. We never have this Maimem Tzoyim, so it's not really Negetas. That's yesterday we left off by Yutes, the Shach Sivkot Yutes. What's the din? I cooked part of the soup in a fleshy pot. And the fleshik pot is a ben yomo. I cook fleshiks in the pot within the last 24 hours, and now I cook parva soup. So that's called not by not. That's not by not. I cooked fleshik soup and I washed out the pot. And I didn't kasher the pot. I washed out the pot, so there is no fleshik's bien, but the fleshik bliya is in the doifne hakder. Now I cook potato soup, vegetable soup, whatever. So the tam of the flesh goes into the soup. So am I allowed? So now I'm going to pour that, let's say I'm going to pour this soup into a plastic bowl, let's say. I'm not going to pour a fleshy bowl, milk bowl, sure. I pour it into a plastic bowl, disposable. Am I allowed to pour milk into the soup? That's the famous machlekes, that's not by not ayidei bishul. I cooked part of a soup in a fleshy pot ben yomo. If the pot would be ena ben yomo, I haven't cooked fleshiks in the pot in the last 24 hours. And now I've cooked parva soup, Zayna ben Yomo, so there's no one is machmer, not by not al yidei bishul. Zayna ben Yomo, Zayna ben Yomo, there's no time of gam. But if the fleshik pot is still ben Yomo and I cook parva soup, so then Tosis quotes, the Rivon was the son-in-law of Rashi. So the Rivon claims he heard from his father-in-law, Rashi, that not by not al yidei bishul is not treated like not by not. It's considered fleshik soup, and you're not allowed to put in butter, and you're not allowed to mix in any milk. You're not allowed to have milk together with it. And Tosis says he must have had wax in his ears. They can't believe that Rashi said such a thing. So it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosis. So the Mechaber Paskins against the Rivon. Not by not Aydei Bishul. The Rivon, if anybody's going to be Machman, it's going to be Ashkenazim. We have such respect for Rashi that even if Rashi's son-in-law misquoted him, they're also going to be afraid. Maybe Rashi said it. But the Sfardim don't care, not for the son-in-law, not for the father-in-law. They couldn't care less about the whole family over here. So the Mechaber just said, not parat, it's mutter, shai. So when you pour this part of a soup that was cooked in a fleshy pot on a plastic bowl, you can pour in milk and butter, there's no problem. And the Ramah says that lachatchili we're machmer that you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't put in butter. Yeah, do you have to wait 6 hours? Of course you don't have to wait 6 hours. If you had part of a soup that was cooked in a fleshik pat ben yomo, you don't have to wait 6 hours. And lachatchila we're machmer that you shouldn't have it with milk. So here there's a Ramah. The Ramah in the middle of Siv Gimel. Mihu, if you have tapshel shel basar, let's say I had chicken soup. So the chicken, I cook chicken in the soup. So I take out big chunks of chicken that I put in. I take out. The chicken didn't disintegrate in the soup. The chicken gave a lot in Sinas Tam. So when you drink the soup, you're not eating any chicken. Just I removed all the chicken from the soup. It has a lot of tam of chicken. The chicken tam is less than 50% of the mixture over here. It's not going to be rove disintegrated chicken. It's going to be less than rove. But still, that's called a tapshil shel basar. You can taste the flavor. So there's a question. Mikredin, strictly speaking, you don't have to wait 6 hours. So we machmig, you should wait 6 hours after that also. Mihu, the Ramah says on the fourth line in Siv Gimel. A main basar betapshil
shel basar. Like shuma?
Yeah. If you really eat shuman, let's say they have schmaltz from the chicken or schmaltz from the flesh, that's mamish fleshig, so you got to wait 6 hours. So even if you just had a soup that has a little bit of schmaltz in it, less than 50%, so strictly speaking, that a tapshil shel basar is not really dina kibasar. So we're nagu achshav lahach mishlo lecha gvin acha tapshil shel basar kamach and bachasar atzmo vein lushanas v'lifritz ged. Okay, so we're machma, you wait 6 hours. What if I just cooked the part of a soup in a fleshik pot? So then the Ramah said, Mihu, a main basar betapshel. It has no schmaltz in it. Rakshin is bashel b'gedera shel basar. So he says, then you don't have to wait 6 hours. There's no need to wait 6 hours. So the Shach says, you don't have to wait 6 hours. You can pour in milk mamish into it. What do you mean you don't have to wait 6 hours? That's not banat. According to the Mechaber, not banat, even I did bishul. Not only don't you have to wait 6 hours, you can have it with milk. So the Shach, the Ramah happens to be machmer there like the Rivan b'shem Rashi. They're not banat al yidei bishul. You don't treat it like napanat. You shouldn't mix in any butter. You shouldn't mix in any milk. But still, why does he write over here that you don't have to wait 6 hours? It's even more kal than that. So the Shach explains, no, it means over here you had a fleshik pot, and I cooked fleshiks, and I didn't wash out the whole pot. There probably is a little bit of fleshiks left. But it's not like chicken soup that you have a significant percentage of schmaltz. Clearly less than 50%, but a significant flavor of the schmaltz, you can taste it. Here, I cooked the flesh in the pot, and then I emptied out the whole pot, and there was a little residue of fleshiks left, and I cooked the parva soup in it. So because I never washed it out, so he says, you don't have to wait 6 hours, but you're not allowed to put in milk or butter. That's not called not by not. Later on, Simon Sadekei, it's called not by not. If I know for sure that I washed out the whole pot. He was talking, he didn't wash out the pot. Okay. Then there's a Peladike Ramah, the last two lines in the Ramah.
It just has to be a little bit, or it has to be that I'm not mechabin to use it.
I think it means both. I wasn't really interested in having my vegetable soup have a flavor of the flesh, and it's very insignificant amount of flesh left behind. So then the Ramah says, you don't have to wait 6 hours for that. That's not a tapshil shel basar. Accidentally happens to be flesh, but that's not a tapshil shel basar. A lot of people make a mistake. They think that if you cook the part of a soup in a fleshy pot, you have to wait 6 hours. So that for sure is not correct. That's up correct. You don't have to wait 6 hours. The Ramah says even more than that, the way the Shach understands. Even if the part of a soup has a little bit by mistake, has a little bit of fleshiks in it, but you weren't really interested and has very little bit. So then also the Ramah says you don't have to wait 6 hours. This isn't even a chumrah. No. I don't know. Probably don't even have to have shishim. If you have shishim, it's mamish bottle. It's not there. Probably doesn't even need shishim. But since you weren't really interested in giving it a flavor of it, it's not really chicken soup. It's vegetable soup. It happens to be fleishig because you don't have shishim against a little bit of flesh that was left behind. So that, you don't have to wait 6 hours. It's fleishig. You can't pour in milk or butter. That's medina. But you don't have to wait 6 hours.
It's special that you sell the tamen is still, so it doesn't just make what is mechavim
for it. No, no. The tamen is still, if you eat steak, if you eat chicken, you eat the vegetable soup, happens to have a tam kikir, a flesh. That's not, the tam is not going to linger on there. No.
So the classic case that they bring from, based off this, is you have stores that make a deep fry.
Mm-hmm.
So they make chicken in the deep fryer, and then they make french fries.
Okay.
So, but they use the same oil.
Mm-hmm.
So that oil
is fleishig. Yeah, that oil is fleishig, but you're not really interested in giving the flavor of the fleishigs into the French fries. So the French fries are fleishig. You're not allowed to put butter on them. You can't have them with milk. But you don't have to wait 6 hours. That's not called the tav shalbasa. Tav shalbasa means on purpose. You put in chicken into the chicken soup that it should taste like chicken soup. But he interested it should taste like French fries. You don't want to have two different frying pans, one for the flesh and one for the parve. So you fry the parve French fries in the flesh oil.
A person can assume that if he's getting a parve food from a flesh restaurant, that it's...
You don't have to wait 6 hours. It may not necessarily be parve, so you shouldn't eat it with milk, but you don't have to wait 6 hours. Halas ala shulchan. Tapshil shal basar. Halas ala shulchan with a tapshil shal cholam. I don't know. It's a good question. You got to see Mistama. I'm sure someone talks about it. Got to take a look how far the exavers go. I don't know.
Oh, when the OU marked something as dairy equipment.
Yeah.
It was dealing. What?
The market is dairy. They used to market DE, dairy equipment, that you should know that it's parve, but you shouldn't eat it with flesh. And now they thought that it's too confusing, so now anything that's dairy equipment, they'll just mark OUD. They'll mark it as if it's milchik.
Isn't it according to the, if it's washed out according to the shaf, if the pots are washed out, you can mamash have it together, can you?
If the pot, well, we're machmer. By not banata debishel, we are machmer. Unless it's ain't a ben yomo, unless the fleshig pot wasn't used for flesh in the last 24 hours. Then the Rambam says later in Tzadikei, that's the siman of not banat, that then even not banat Ha'idei Bishul would also be moved.
So these companies were using it for milk and fleshig within...
If it's on the same day. If it's used for parva and fleshig, parva and milking on the same day, so then it's called dairy equipment. That's not banat Ha'idei Bishul. Yeah. The din is you have to wash until it's yadayim when you want to eat bread. What kind of halacha is that? Then you have to wash until it's yadayim for a dobshet tibula b'mashka. Yeah. So what's the whole issue of washing for until it's yadayim for bread? So some of the rishonim say mishum srach truma. There is halacha mid the rabbanon that stam yadayim askani is saying and yadayim have the status of sheni letuma. If a person just went to the mikveh and he just became tohar, so the whole body is tohar. That's not stam yadayim. He was just tohar in the mikveh and everything is tohar. But he went to the mikveh last week and his hands were touching everything. So you don't say he himself is not considered sofik tumah. He knows that to the best of his knowledge he was not mekabel tumah, so he's tohar. But the hand, since he was misiach das from the shmiras hayadayim, so the yadayim have a status of stam yadayim. Stam yadayim have a status of shnias. Minatar, there is no such thing that the hands are tummy, the rest of the body is tummy. Minatar, there is no such thing, and Adam should be a sheni letuma. It can't be. Adam can only be either if he's dead, he's an avi avos, he becomes his own grandfather, avi avos atuma, and if he's alive, he can become an av hatuma. He can become a rishon letuma. Adam mekalim is only mekabel tuma from an av or from higher, from avi avos. Adam mekalim cannot be mekabel tuma from a rishon, from a tolder. That's the gemara, the first daf in Baba Kam. So Adam can never be a sheni. It's impossible. Adam can never be a sheni. But nonetheless, mid the rabbanon, that's what they made it in. So, they broke two rules over here. Adam can never be a sheni, and it's impossible to have part of the body tummy, part of the body tor. But that's not locha. That's tam yadayim shniyasim. So when you wash until it's a dime to eat bread, so that's a big machlekes in the rishonim. What is it based on? So some rishonim say it's on the mishum nikias. They made a takana the rabbanon mishum nikias. And other Rishonim say no. Mishum Dikis is one consideration. The other consideration is Mishum Srach Truma. That if a Kohen wants to eat Truma and a Sheni passels Truma, by Chulin, the level of Truma only goes down to Sheni. By Truma, it goes down to Shlishi. And by Kodesh, it goes down to Revi. And by Paraduma, it goes down to El Chamishi. That's a Tosefta. So a Sheni will passel Truma. If Truma will touch a Sheni, the Truma will become Nipsal. You won't be allowed to eat it. If you have Stam Yadayim and you touch Truma, so you passel the Truma. So no one's allowed to eat that Truma. No one's allowed to eat that Truma. So that's a big machlek zarishanim. When they instituted Netilas Yadayim for Pas, for Chulin, is that for two reasons, Mishum Nikiyas and Mishum Srach Truma. They made a gzera, whenever you eat bread, or to Kohanim who are eating, to Kohanim, whatever Truma they're eating, whether they're drinking Yain Shal Truma, or they're eating oranges of Truma, or they're eating grapes of Truma, eating, drinking, whatever bread, whenever they eat or drink Truma, they have to wash Netilas Yadayim, because they're not allowed to eat Truma in a state of Tuma. Not only you're not allowed to be metame in the truma, you can't eat truma, part of your body is tame, if you're dying, matame. So you have to wash until you're dying. You don't have to go to a mikveh. You go to a mikveh, that's wonderful. But if you know that your Torah is just at the ends of tame, so you have to wash until you're dying before. So some Rishonim say that washing until you're dying for bread, for shalchulin, is both mishum srach truma and mishum nikias. And others say that it's only mishum nikias. What's an afkamina? There's machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivid. Do you require your daim shniya? Do you require maim shniyim? Do you require maim shneim? The Mishnayos in Yadayim talk about maim shneim. When you wash until it's Yadayim to remove the tumas hayadayim, when you're eating truma, so now the hands became tohar, but the water was just mekabel tumah. So do you have to wash a second time maim shneim to remove the maim tumayim or not? So the Mishnah says you have to have maim shneim. So the Rambam holds that's only by truma. By chulin, there's no need for maim shneim. And the Raibit is Masig on the Ramam. No, the Mishnah and Yadayim doesn't only go on Truma, it goes on in the Chulin also. So it's a fundamental machlek is the Ramam and the Raibit. Now the Rishonim are involved also, whether the Tilis Yadayim for Chulin is only Mishum Nikias, like Nochram also wash their hands before they eat a meal. Is only Mishum Nikias, or is it also Mishum Srach Tuma? The Chayyodim has a suffix if a person is in the middle of eating bread, he washed the Tilis Yadayim, then he touches a pair of tefillin. He touches a Sefer Torah. So the din is that that's metame is hayadayim. So his hands become shnias. So do you require now he has to wash until it's yadayim all over again? Or do you say no? Until it's yadayim for chulin is only mishum dikis, not mishum tuma. So what do I care if his hands are tummy? It's lamala v'lamar. It's not eating truma. So that's so the chayyodim is misupik about that. How should we pass him like the Ramam or like the Raivi? It's a shayla. So let's say a fellow's a waiter in the cafeteria. And he's serving bread on Shabbos. And he himself is not eating. He ate, the waiters have a hashkama minyan, and they ready bench, they finished eating. And now he's serving bread to the other people. So does he have to wash until it's yadayim? So if he would be serving truma, of course he would have to wash until it's yadayim. If his hands are stam yadayim, shnia saying, he's going to touch the truma, he's going to passel the truma. It doesn't matter whether he's eating it or someone else is eating it. If a person's hands are stam, means it was Mesiach Tas from the Shmiras Ayadayim. And the hands have a Tumma Midirabbanon to the extent to the level of a Sheni Lituma. So if he's going to touch the Tumma, he's going to make it puzzle, like a Pchina, like a Shlishi. And no one's allowed to eat this. Of course, if the waiter is serving Tumma, it doesn't matter that he doesn't plan to eat any of the Tumma. Of course, he has to wash until Zah. But he's not serving Tumma, he's serving Chulin. So according to the Rambam, the Rambam holds that until Zadayim Le Chulin is only Mishum Nikiyas, there's no din of Maim Shniyim. It has nothing to do with Srach Truma. So then, of course, the waiter doesn't have to wash his hands. But the Shaila, according to the Raivid, and the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend you should be machma like the Raivid to wash Maim Shniyim when you wash until it's Yadayim. And that's the Chayodim raised the issue. If you touched tefillin in the middle, your hands became tummy not because of Hesach Hadas, it became tummy because of tefillin. They're worried about that true also. If you're really eating Truma and you touch tefillin in the middle, of course, the Chayorim doesn't have a suffix, because you got to wash again. You're eating chulin, so even if you're all like the Raivid, that is Mishum Srach Truma, maybe you're only worried about hands that are sheni because of Stam, because of Hesach Hadas. Maybe you're not worried about Tumas Kisvi HaKodesh, because I touched Truma, because I touched the Pertum. So the Chayorim is not sure. So let's say the waiter is serving bread the waiter is serving bread, but he's not eating any of the bread. So does he have to wash Netilas Yadayim or not? So the Gemara discusses that. The Gemara says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Oichel machmas machel. Someone else is feeding me bread, so I have to wash. Let's say I'm not touching the bread. I have my hands tied behind my back, and they're feeding me. So I think the Gemara says, even though I'm not touching the bread, the Gemara says, oichel machmas machel. Someone has to wash my hands. I'm not supposed to eat bread, even though I'm not touching the bread. Even though it's mishum nikiyus, or it's mishum strach trumas, it does make sense if I'm not touching the bread. It makes sense that the waiter should have to wash until it's a dime. He's the one that's touching the bread. And if you're worried about tume, mishum strach trume, so he's the one who's going to make metame. I'm not touching it. There's no issue of nikiyus, and there's no issue of strach trume. So nonetheless, the Gemara says, not so. Echel machmas machel, someone else is feeding me, so they're supposed to wash my hands, and they don't have to wash their hands. Why? Kach tikno chachamim. The reason, the motivation to institute Netilas Yadayim is Mishum Nikiyus, and possibly also Mishum Srach Truma, but the way the Takana functions doesn't always go along with the motivation for the Takana. You have a lot of times like that. The reason for the Takana is one thing, and the details of how the Takana works don't always correspond to the motivation. So really it makes more sense that the waiter who's touching the bread, the one who's feeding me the bread, that person should have to wash until some. That's not so. So now the Ramah quotes a Beis Yosef, and he jumps. He says, that's a Gemara b'negeh to Netilas Yadayim for bread. Now, on our daf, and it's all on the same daf, on daf kufei. Mar Mishoinim is a mitzvah. Mar Machoinim is a choyva. Mar Memtsoyim, and then the Gemara talks about Kinuch v'hadoch and Netilas Yadayim, all on the same daf. We're talking about four different Netilas Yadayim. You're talking about the Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim and Mayim Emtzoyim, and then until it's Yadayim, in between Fleshiks and Melchiks, in between Melchiks and Flesh. Three or four different kinds of Netilas Yadayim. According to the Rabbein Tam, the Mayim Emtzoyim is the same topic of Netilas Yadayim, Fleshiks and Melchiks. According to Rashbam, the four different kinds of Netilas Yadayim. Rashbam says Mayim Emtzoyim is non-halachic. It's only Mishum Ufunokim, only Mishum Nikiyas. He's eating cholent and fish and flesh and kugel. So what does he need it for? So the Rashbam learns that that's what the Gemara is talking about. So either three or four different kinds of Netilas Yadayim, it's all on the same daf. So the question is, that Gemara that said that the waiter doesn't have to, even though Seichel dictates the waiter should have to wash, and the guy is not touching the food should not have to wash, the Halacha says not so. The one who's eating the food has to wash, even though he's not touching it, and the one who's touching it does not have to wash until the Yadayim. So now, the Ramah and the Beis Yosef say the same is true over here. The waiter, the guy in the kitchen, he's making a cheese salad and his fingers are stuck in the cheese. And then he's going to make fleshig meatballs. He's going to wrap meatballs with all kinds of stuff. So since he's not eating it, he's just preparing it. So the halacha says he doesn't have to wash Netilas Yadayim. So the shach says, what are you, crazy? That's by Netilas Yadayim for bread. The Gemara says that. No one ever said that. He says, Rashi said it. What are you talking about there? Rashi said it by Netilas Yadayim for bread. The Gemara said it. Rashi said it by bread. The Gemara is not talking. The Gemara and Rashi are not talking about. They're not talking about between fleshiks and milchiks. That's the shach and chofalef. He's masig on this. Can't cause about Beis Yosef b'shem Rashi. Be'emes le'dikta kukal. The Ramo and the Beis Yosef are not right. Rashi li'ari has melin until sedaim rishonim lachilef. Eating bread who pasha b'shas. So Gemara, what did he see in Rashi more than the Gemara? Gemara says like that. Even though the sechel dictates the one who's touching the bread should have to wash, the halacha says not so. Only the one is eating and not the one is touching it. He says, everybody agrees to that. That's not Rashi. Who pashed b'shas muskim echol ha-paskim? Says in Shulchan Aruch, en ha-machot tzach tils yadayim, ma-pshin shenegeh. Aval mayim en tzayim etav shegvinat, avad it depends on the guy who's touching it. How can you say? Tapela. The pashtus certainly is like the shach.
Does the
machlokus
about
mikiyus
or strach shumah affect the order of washing hands, whether it's 2-2 or 1-1-1-1, or that's a different discussion?
I don't know that there is a discussion. I think we assume it's 1-1 and 1-1.
1-1 and 1-1.
2 on one hand and 2 on the other hand. You wash the right hand and then you do a Mayim Shneim pause, then you wash Mayim Shneim on the right hand. Then you wash the left hand, you wash Mayim Shneim on the left hand, yeah. There again, that's for Ruach Ra. That's when you wake up in the morning. So the Zohar says you only get into the Ruach Ra if you wash B'seir again. The Gemara says in Yuma there's a problem of Ruach Ra. And the Zohar says to get rid of the Ruach Ra, you have to have B'seir again.
Doesn't doesn't Shulchan Aruch say Viseri again? Doesn't Shulchan Aruch say you do 1-1, then you rub your hands together, then you do 2-2?
If your hands are dirty, that's a different thing. If a guy thinks his hands are dirty and there's a chatzitza, so you should wash once on the right hand, once on the left hand, rub your hands together to clean them, and then you wash two times on the right hand and two times on the left hand. The first time you poured the water was to remove all the chatzitza, to remove all the dirt. And now, actually, you got to begin to wash until the same time. So you wash a second time, that's Mayim Rishonim. Then you wash a third time, that's the Mayim Shneim. Yeah. But by us, our hands are usually fairly clean. I don't know. Depends what you do all day long. If you're a grave digger, so then you got to wash three times. Okay, got to first wash the both hands and wash off all the dirt. And then you wash twice on the right hand, twice on the left hand.
About the shachvayin, not barnat, the one we...
Yes.
If someone's fleshik and he has a davar charef that was cooked in a milchik pot, can he eat that now?
Someone is fleshig and he wants to eat within 6 hours a davar charef cooked in milchik pot. I don't know. We'll have to see how far these chumras go. The pashtus is it should be muta, but you got to see what the minhagim are. I don't know. Let's see what's over here. It says you shouldn't use a fleshig knife to cut cheese or to cut bread that you plan to eat with cheese. And if you shouldn't use a milchig knife to cut flesh or to cut bread that you plan to eat with flesh. Yeah. Why? Because the fleshig knives and the milchig knives usually have a little bit of cheese on the surface, even if you washed it off. You very often will have a little bit of the end. You have a little fleshings. So the Ramah says, Mihu. The first line in the Ramah in Siv Dalet, Mihu. Al-Yidei Nid, Siv Karka Koshe, Shori. So the Vilna Gaon says, the source is the Gemara Sof Masechus Avodizor. The last half of Masechus Avodizor. Gemara says, you have a treifa knife, and everything is tzainin. We assume there's no B'liya B'tzainin. There's no B'liya B'tzainin. Unless you have Kavush, unless something is liquid and is soaking for 24 hours, unless it's malich keresech, otherwise it's not b'liya b'tzainim. What if you cut a davar charif with a knife? So then we assume, the Gemara says that then there is a b'liya b'tzainim. If you have a duch kedesakino, b'tzirif with a davar charif, then we assume there is a b'liya even though it's b'tzainim. But that's only if it's a davar charif. Let's say I take a knife and I cut an apple, I take a fleshig knife, a clean fleshig knife, and I cut an apple. I take a milchig knife, I cut an apple. The apple is not a davar charif, but then we assume that there is no bliya. Just duch kedesakin alone, we assume there is no bliya. The Tosfos there quotes an opinion, the Tosfos on Chesam and Beis quotes an opinion, that whenever there's duch kedesakin, even if it's not a davar charif, so b'choshish that there is a bliya. And the Tosfos rejects it. No, the Gemara is only if it's duch kedesakin, it's Sirif with a davar charif. If it's not a davar charif, not. So here the Ramah has a chumra. The last two lines in the Ramah. Abu Kvanoga called Yisrael Yislam Shnei Sakin and Velirshem Mechad Mehem Shehelo Heker. You identify which one is fleshig, which one is milchig. You don't use a fleshig knife to cut challah. Why? So Lechatchila B'choshish for that opinion. That Tosfos quotes on Chesam and Beis, that duch kedesakina poses a problem, even though there is no davar charif. Mikra din is not so. Mikra din is only a problem davar charif. If duch kedesakina b'tzir of davar charif, or duch kedesakina, and its base shchita is hot. The Gemara had a machlokes if hashechet b'sakin shel ovdei kochavim. I have a treifa knife and hashech the behema. So the neck of the behema at the time of shchita becomes very hot. So one opinion in the Gemara is that it's so hot that it's Yatzoled as well. So Yatzoled said there's going to be a concern that there'll be a bliya from the treifa knife. We happen to paskin, we assume that it's not Yatzoled as well. That's a shaila in the Gemara. But the beis hashchita tzainin, the beis hashchita retzeh tzainin doesn't mean that it's cold. It means that it's below, anything below Yatzoled is called tzainin. Anything above Yatzoled is called retzeh. So we accept that opinion that beis hashchita is tzainin. It's below Yatzoled. So there's still one suggestion in the Gemara, but it's a little bit warm, so you have a half and a half, adds up to a whole. So if you have a davar charif and a duch kedesakina, it does make a bliya. So there was one suggestion, aches on the base in the Gemara, that a base hashchita is tzainin, but it's halfway there, it's almost retzer, it's borderline retzer. So the base hashchita, which is very warm, almost retzer, but zero for duch kedesakina should make a bliya. Okay, but Dukki the sakina alone, if there's no stam to use a milchik knife to cut a bread, that really doesn't pose a problem. So the Rambam says, lachatchila b'choshish, for that opinion, from the Baal HaTosfos, the dukki the sakina doesn't even need a tziruf of a dovach, it doesn't need a tziruf of a beis hashchita that should be warm. Okay.
You cut it once, then you cut it a second time.
Yeah.
Is it now pilot back?
What's pilot back?
You cut a
double
chorus with a knife.
So
the knife, you say,
is a blia, and double chorus. So the knife makes the onion fleshy. Now I'm
going to
cut.
Now I'm going to take a
different knife.
Different onion. And I'm going to cut a different onion with this knife.
Yeah, we're choishes. Maybe a little blia came out then, maybe a little blia came out now. If you do hagala, so then you assume hagala removes all the tray for blia. But over here, you don't assume that the whole tray for blia came out. Maybe some came out the first time, some came out the second time. Can never tell how much is going to come out.
What is a double choreth? What's an example? Only an onion?
That's a machlaikis later. That's a machlaikis in Rishonim. So the Gemara only says chiltis. Chiltis is a very sharp vegetable. So there was a machlaikis in the Rishonim. Does it apply to any vegetable? Let's say an esrog, a lemon. An esrog is sharp. Is it really a duch? Is it really a davar charef? So that's the question. How charef does it have to be that it should be considered davar charef? So the Shulchan Aruch has machmer anything that seems to be charef, and other rishonim held no. Only if mamish chiltus. I told over the story by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. No, but the woman came in. The woman asked the shaila that she by mistake she was cooking for Shabbos, so she by mistake cut the onions with a milchik knife, and then she cooked the chicken with the onions. And everything would be awesome. So she asked, what's the din? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked her whether the onions had a black shell or a brown shell. So she said she never heard of a black-shelled onion had a brown shell. So he said, it's kosher. So she went home. So the Talmidim asked him, where does it say that in Shulchan Aruch? It doesn't say a word about black-shell, brown-shell. So he said, it's a machlokes harishonim whether davar charef is only chiltis, which is very sharp, very spicy, or it even applies to anything that's slightly charif. So the Mechaber was machmir. He personally thinks that it's not sir. Chaim Volozhiner thinks he shouldn't have paskan like that. But Fafal Mechaber, paskan's luchumer is luchumer. But the Mechaber is up to live in Eretz Yisrael, in Tzvas. And in Eretz Yisrael, the onions have black shells. We all know that people with black hair are sharper than people with blonde hair. That's what he said. So he assumed that the brown-shelled onions are not as sharp as the black-shelled onions. So his psak is not against the Mechaber. Mechaber is talking about black-shelled onions. He's talking about brown-shelled onions, because in Poland they didn't have any black-shelled onions. So it was a hefsed meruba, big shas atrag, so he was mekel because he held meker adin. I don't know. They told me, Rabbi Michal Shurkin told me, when his father used to teach in Chaim Berlin, and the Talmidim would ask them, what's this, what's that? He used to say, agivisa givix, even on principle, even if I don't know what chiltus is, but even when he knew what the vegetable or the fruit was, he wouldn't say what it is. I don't know. Chiltus apparently is some very sharp. You got to look in a gesture. Apparently, it's some very sharp vegetable.
Whenever he says something's metavlin, that's always the spicy that he's referring to. So the harif that he's referring to.
Yeah, we're machmer. Anything that's slightly charif is charif. So here there's a gemara in the last daf in Avodah Zarah. That's what the Vilna Gaon refers to. So if Avodah Zarah, last daf, the gemara says they were cutting, they wanted to cut an esrog. Their esrogim were edible, not like our esrogim are not edible. They wanted to eat an esrog, so they took a treifa knife, and they wanted to cut the esrog. So it's a problem. It's a problem. You're going to cut the kosher esrog with a treifa knife. It's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, you need ne'itza esapamim bekarka kosher. What is that all about? So the Pashup Shat is, ne'itza esapamim bekarka kosher. It says there in Kuf Chafalev. The Shat tells you, look in Simen Kuf Chafalev, where all of this is quoted. So it says there, you can't keep on sticking it into the same hole. Once you stuck it in once in the ground, and you're going to stick it in again, that's not karka kosher. You have to stick it each time in a different part. Each time has to be karka kosher. What is accomplished by ne'itza esapamim bekarka kosher? So whatever bien there may possibly be on the surface, they didn't have steel wool, and their sakinim weren't as smooth as ours. So then there's a concern there may be some bien on the surface. So if you stick it in esapamim bekarka kosher, you know that it's as clean as by us with steel wool. You know for sure it's clean. So there's no bien. There's only balua. So there's no bien. There's only balua. So balua doesn't come out bitzainen. So there's no problem. So if you're going to cut a food, you're going to cut an esrei with a treifa knife, the bli is not going to come out. The only chashash is the bien on the surface. And if you did need to ask upon karka kosher, so there's no bien. So that's what the Ramah seems to be saying over here. You're not allowed to use a fleshig knife to cut cheese or bread that you want to eat with the cheese. You're not allowed to use a milchig knife to cut bread that you're going to eat with flesh, except to cut a piece of flesh, even though everything is tzainin, because there's a concern. There probably will be some bien on the surface of the knife, and the bien is going to get stuck on the other bien. Bien is going to get stuck on the bread. You're going to eat it with faket, with the flesh, with the milchig tognish. But if you do neitzes, a pami bekarka kosher, so then there is no bien by us. If you know you cleaned it off well with steel wool and a lot of the knives, you don't need steel wool. You know that there's no bien on the fartik, so there's no problem. That's the Pashup Shot. The problem is that the Shach quotes are there in Kuf Chaf Aleph. The Mechaber quotes the Rashba in the Torah Sabbais, who says that once you do Nitsa Esapam and Bekarka Koshi, you can even cut a Dava Charif. Ooh, you can cut a Dava Charif. A Dava Charif is a Chiddush that there's Bliya Betzainen. There's Bliya from not only on the Bien. The Bien is even Nishken Dava Charif. If you have bien on the knife, you're going to be wiping it off on a potato also. On a potato, it'll also get wiped off. We're talking, there is no bien on the knife. And if it's a dova charif, like a chiltis, so then the bliya is going to be afila b'tzayin. So how does it help if you do nitzes upon in bekarka kosher if you're cutting a dova charif? So the pischit shuva there tells you, look in the b'chor shor and chulin, on daf kuf aleph, who disagree. He says he thinks that Tosfos does not agree with the Rashba. I would have disagreed. Even if there wouldn't have been a Tosfos, I would have disagreed. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The Itzas upon the Karkakosh just removes all the Bien. But there's still Balua. And Balua, that's the Halacha. Even though Balua doesn't go Bali Reitev, and it doesn't go Betzainen, but over here there's no Reitev, and it's Tzainen, and that's the Chumra of Duchkinus Hakinen, Betzir of Davacharev, that you say there is a Bali of Betzainen. Dava Charev has a few chumras. There's one chumra, let's say, I have a cliche in a ben yomo. I have a treifa pot that hasn't been used for treifas in the last 24 hours. I have a treifa knife that has been used for hot treifas in the last 24 hours. And I washed it off, it's absolutely clean. And now I cut a dava charev with this treifa knife. So, or I cook some soup that's very spicy. I cook some borscht that's very sharp in this pot that's treif ene ben yomo. So we are machmer that even though ene ben yomo is always nice and tam levgam, but if you're cooking a dava charef now, so dava charef is mechali alei deshvach. That's one chumer. Second chumer is whenever you have not by not, let's say I have a fleshig knife, and I take the fleshig knife and I cut a hot fish. The knife is cold and the fish is hot. Or the hot knife is hot and the fish is cold. So it's not Ayidei Bishul, not Banat Ayidei Bishul with Machma like the Rivan B'Shem Rashi, that it's not labeled as not Banat. So it's one of them is hot, one of them is cold, so it's not called Ayidei Bishul. So that's not Banat. So I say the fish, I cut the fish with a fleshy knife that had no bien at all on the surface, but the bliya goes from the knife into the fish. That's a not Banat, the hetera. So not banat hetera is no problem. We say it's a tam kolish, doesn't pose a problem for basar v'cholah. But if I'm cooking, if I'm cutting a dava charif with the knife, then the kul of not banat 2 days in Rashi, and we're machmen, the kul of not banat doesn't apply. So the kul of einim and yoyma doesn't apply. The kul of not banat doesn't apply. The kul of that ain't balua yoytze bali reitiv doesn't apply. I'm cooking over here. Everything is tzainin. Usually there's no bliya b'tzainin. He say by dava charev there is a bliya b'tzainin. You have a whole list of chumers by dava charev.
So what if a person takes a fleshy knife and cuts an onion and then he puts it with to make the pulse bread? Can he do that, or should he use a power of knife to cut the onion to make the pulse bread?
He took a fleshy knife, Nachma, he took a fleshy knife and he cut the onion. So that onion, we don't treat it like not banat. We treat it, since we're machmer that onions are a dava charev, so we treat it as if the onions are what is it, milchig. We treat it as if the onion is milchig.
If you use a fleshy knife, so it's not just a sakana issue. So
Shaila of sakana. Shalos Hakana on Kalim. That's a question there. The beginning of the second Chelik Yeridei, you have all Simen Kuf Tezayin, Advarim Hasur Mishim Sakana. So they quote that Gemara, is that Gemara? Psochen, and I involve on the base right before the Mishnah. That the Gemara said if you have fish that's cooked with flesh, so there's a problem Mishum Sakana. So that's a question whether we're still Choshesh Bizman Hazeh. We discussed that the Pischei Tshuva has a long Arichas there. He quotes the Magen Avraham, thinks that Bizman Hazeh, the whole thing is not a problem. Even though the Mechaber and the Ramah both quoted, the Magen Avraham thinks that the doctors of our generation think there's no problem, so you don't have to worry about it. And then he quotes another view that says, we're still concerned, maybe the Magen Avraham is wrong, maybe there is a Chashash Sakana. So then the Pischei Tshuva has a Machloikas, is the Chashash Sakana only if you actually cook fish with meat? What if you just cook the fish in a fleshic pot? So because there are those who feel that that too is a Sakana, so that's why the meaning developed, that you always have a fish pot. You have a fleshic pot, milchic pot, and a fish pot separately. You have to have an egg pot also, so you've got a lot of pots. If you want to keep a kosher, you got to have fleshic milchic for Pesach, fleshic milchic for chametz, then you got to have an egg pot, because the egg may have blood spots and may also the whole pot. So you got to have a separate egg pot, and then you have to have a separate fish pot, because you don't want to cook the fish in the fleshic pot because of the chashash of sakana. So he quotes, that's a machlokes achrayim. Whenever there's a blia from a pot into the fleshic blia from a pot into the fish, so you have to be concerned about sakana or not. The pashtus is that bizman hazeh, if the Morgan Avram says the whole thing is nishkin sakana, and even bizman that they really thought that it was a sakana, many poskim held that the blia is kalim, there is no sakana. So the pashtus is we're not mechuyev to be so concerned. The biggest sakonis that we violate all the time. We all eat junk food and we all have cholesterol and we all overeat and we do so many things that are absolutely unhealthy because Shomer Psayim Hashem said punkt is the one thing that we're so concerned about sakana. We should worry about the real sakonis. This is a far-fetched sakana. I know the OU won't allow it in a hospital because the patients are sick, so they don't want to make them sicker. So they don't allow them to cook fish in a fleshic pot. In hospitals, they're machmer. But for a caterer, then you have to be machmer. No. It's not humorous. It's a little funny.
Huh? You could cook fish in a milk pot.
That's the shayla of the Beis Yosef and the Shach, whether milk and fish is also a sakana. Okay, I have to ask the Belzer Badatz. They're the experts on that field, yeah.
Are we doing the Yitzhak for steel wool? You have to do different places in the steel wool? I don't think so,
yeah. No, but when you do Yitzhak, a palm and bekarka kosher, so then the Shulchan Aruch says you got to do in different places because you're going to do in the exact same place. So it's no longer a karka kosher. So then the Mechaber writes, once you did Yitzhak, a palm and bekarka kosher, then he says he can even use it to cut a dava charif. So the Bchor Shor, quoted by the Pesach Shuvah, says, how can that be? But a dava charif has a bliya, even though it's tzaynin. So duchkin is akin of a dava charif, has a bliya from the inside. And he says, the palm in bekaka kosher just removes the surface bien. It doesn't remove the bliya that's inside. How can it be good? Where did the Rashba get such an einfall from? That it's even mutter, if the Nietzsche says, the palm in bekaka kosher, he holds that it takes out some of the bliya, doesn't take out all the bliya. I don't think so. I think what he means is, the Rashba is assuming that the Nisa's upon him not only removes the surface bien, it even removes part of the bliya inside. You can't do Nitzes upon the karka kosher and then use it for cutting hot flesh. No, it still has a tom of treifus in the knife, and the tom's going to come out. It's going to cut the hot flesh. But to cut a dova charif, so the Rashba holds, the Nitzes upon him will succeed in taking out part of the tom that's balu in the knife. How does he know that it even worked? What's the mocker? So the Bir Agra explains, the mocker is because the Gemara in the last half of Avodah Zarah is talking about an esrog. The Gemara says the Amoraim are visiting by Shvar Malka, by Anochri, and he gave him an esrog and he gave him a treifa knife. So one of them, a rabbi thinks, he took the knife and he stuck it 10 times in the ground, karkakosh, and then he cut the esrog. Esrog is the chadova chorev, the Rashba says. So you see, the need says, pam karkakosh even helps to cut a dova chorev. So he says, verzok that an esrog is a dova chorev. The Rashba makes an assumption, and he comes up with what the whopper of a chiddush, that the need says, pam even helps to cut a dova chorev. So the Khorshar on Chulin says he thinks that Tosis doesn't agree. The Pashtus is not like the Rashba. That's a difficult line in that Rashba that's quoted by the Mechaben, Kuf Chafalim, Siv Zayin, that Nitzes B'Hom even helps. You have to do in a different place. And then it even helps. What's the mocker? So the Bira Gra says, Loshan Harashba, Bira Gracha base. This is Simu Kuf Chaf Aleph that the Shach is referring to. So Bira Gra says, Loshan Harashba, Kemo Esrug, it's known. Because the Ubda, the Shwar Malka, on the last daf in Avodah Zarah, is they were cutting an Esrug. They were serving Esrugim. So the Rashba is assuming that an Esrug is a Dovah Charev. He has an offering Gemara that it helps for Dovah Charev. In Europe, a lot of people had a misconception. They thought that whenever you have a treif knife, you stick it in the ground, you leave it there for a couple of weeks, and then magically it becomes kosher. It doesn't become kosher. The itza has to be nitza, as a pomim just removes the surface bien, and according to this, mechudish dikar Rashba, it even removes part of the balua inside. The Ramah says, yeah, the minig is you have to, I will kvanaga kol yisrael, the Jews have a minig, you have two separate knives, one for fleshings, one for milchiks, and you don't use this kula, that bit seinen, yeah. And you have to be roshim, which one is fleshig, which one is milchig. Usually the minig always was, that's what other rachamim said, minig always was to make the scratch. You see, by us, we have knives that have different designs. They didn't have knives with designs, all of their boring silverware, it's all the same. So he used to make a charitz, he used to make a scratch. So there's a pasuk in Shmuel where it's when Yishai sent David to give his brother some food in the army. They were on the front fighting with the Palestinians there, with the Plishtim. So he brought them charitze hacholov, brought them some cheese. So since it says charitze hacholov, and the Ramah says nogalasas charitz, you make a charitz, and the Loshan apostle gives charitze hacholov doesn't mean a scratch, it means chunks of cheese. But since that's the Loshan HaPasuk, so the minig always was that they would make the scratch on the milchig kelim, on the milchig utensils, and the fleshig would be smooth, milchig had the charitz. So that was the minig. Our minig is you have a different design. In fact, you know which one is fleshig, which one is milchig. The Taz wants to be mekel over here. He says, even though the Ramos says the minig is you have separate knives, that means you shouldn't use the fleshig knife to cut the cheese. Even I they need tzespam. You shouldn't use the milchig knife to cut the cold flesh. Even I they need tzespam. But to use the fleshig knife to cut the bread that you're going to eat with the cheese, there's no such meaning on that. So the Shach says that he's not right. Shach says he doesn't agree with this. He writes it in the Nekudas HaKesef. He says he's not right. You look in the earlier sources. Ramos says that the Farish, that the meaning is not so. Kamavoy lehedya ze eino. Nekudas HaKesef writes, what the Taz wrote is not correct. It says Mefurish, that the meaning is you don't use a fleshing knife to cut the bread that you're going to eat with the milchik seda. We're choshish for that opinion that Taz is quoted on Chesam Beis, that whenever you have a duchkir sakino, so it makes a bli even though there is no dovachar. By an eno ben yomo. I don't know. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like it. The Gemara in the last daf in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Pesachim and in Nozir and a few places, the last daf in Avodah Zarah, Gemara says, Le'os the Torah, L'kadera bas yoyma. The Torah says you have to have libana hagola, that's only if the pat is a ben yomo. If the pat is an ena ben yomo, then minatar you don't have to kasha at all. But mid the Rabbani, you do have to kasha. The Gemara says, why is that? So the Gemara says on the last Amud Aleph in Masechus Avodah Zarah, it's exerene ben yomo to ben yomo. If you allow people to put on a label on the pot when it was used last for a treifis, so the label may fall off and it may fall on a different pot, and then they'll be using the treifis pot when it's still ben yomo, make all the kosher food tray. So we don't allow that. So we mentioned that the Ritva, in the end of Avodah Zarah, the Ritva was a Talmud of the Ra'or. So he writes that his Rebbe, the Ra'or, held that the Gzeir Eina Ben Yom Ata Ben Yom was only instituted on Trefer Kalim. But if it's Fleshig or Milche Kalim, there's no need to have two sets of dish, no need to have two sets of silverware. You just wait till it's Eina Ben Yom. They never made the Gzeir the Rabbanan on Hetera Bol, only on Isura Bol. So no one agreed with the Ra'or. So the Ritva says, and we all pleaded with the Rebbe, Rebbe, we all know that you're right, but you say you're an Apikiris. Why should you do this? Why don't you just give in and do like everybody says? No, it's a matter of principle. He's not going to give in. They're all wrong, and he's the only one who's right. So that's the Shita Sarah. So we don't pass him like that. It's later in Shulchan Aruch that even a cliche in a ben yom, a fleshig milchig, you're not allowed to use for the opposite. You have to kasher it first. But Rabbi Kivege has a tshuva where he's mitzaref the ra'or with other tzdodim lahokim. The tour in the next Chelek Yeredeya in the simon of where's Nois and Tam Levgam, cliche in a ben yomo, somewhere at the beginning of the second Chelek Yeredeya. So the tour quotes the Baal HaItur. There is a passage in the Rishalmi that says if you have truma is also lazar. Truma may only be eaten by kohanim. If you're not a kohen, you're not allowed to eat. So what if you have truma bisman hazeh? That's only the rabbanon. A truma schutzlor is chalas chutzlor. It's only the rabbanon. So what if you have a pot that they cooked chalas chutzlor? It's a truma schutzlor. It's in the pot. So the whole bli of treifus is only a derabbanon kal. There are dinim derabbanon chomer and dinim derabbanon kal. So chalas chutzlor has a lot of kulas. The gemara b'choras chavzayin lists up mutar lahatchila to be mevatel beroiv and oichel b'halach v'akach mafresh and more kulas. The gemara has a whole series of kulas. So the Yerushalmi says if you have chumas chutzlor that you cooked in a pot, that's a klicheres, and the klicheres hagola doesn't help. Liban does help if you do the mechamer, but hagola doesn't help. So the Rishalmi says, and it's quoted Lahalach and Shulchan Aruch, Ritu Hagolah Gimel Pamim, and the Kli, so that's good enough. So the Shulchan Aruch has this also, let's say, Bishul Akum. You're not allowed to eat Bishul Akum. What about Blias Kalim? Do you have to kasher, let's say, the Goy cooked some food in a kosher pot? So you're not allowed to eat the food that was cooked by the Goy. So do you have to kasher the pot later on? So that's 2 days in the Mechaber. So we're Noig Lahachmer on that. We're noita lahachmana that you need hagola. So let's say, but there are other days. Bechlau, you don't need hagola. The whole prohibition of bishulakum is mishum chastan, so may lead to intermarriage. Intermarriage is I'm going to eat the delicious food that the nochri cooked. I'm going to eat my vegetable soup that I cooked in the pot that has a bliya from the guy's bishulakum. So I'm going to fall in love with his daughter because of the bliya skin. I can't even taste the bliya. So that's 2 days in the mechaber. So we're machmana, even though it's a shverichum. We're machmana. So the shaila is, what if you have a klicheres that has a bully of bishlam? You can't, you're stuck. You can't kasha with klicheres. So says Shulchan Aruch, we do hagolah gimel pamim maspik. Why? Because it's a nisa de rabbanon kala. It's not a nisa de rabbanon chomer. Many hold you don't even need hagolah at all. So it's like chumas chutzlor. It's that the Rishalmi in chumas says beferish hagolah gimel pamim is good, and a klicheres here also it's good. So the tour quotes in the name of the Balwita the simon about klisheina ben yomo kuf chof alun, huh? Because Hatara Hida Klicheres Shani Yatimide Dalti Lurlam, and the Chumash says that you can't do Hagola on a Klicheres, absolutely nothing comes out if you do Hagola. So it means that we're Mesupik, we're not sure. Maybe a lot came out, probably a little bit did come out, maybe it didn't all come out. But then you do Hagola a second time. It doesn't, the Chazanish says, it doesn't mean you dip it three times into the same Kli. What do you accomplish by dipping three times into the same Kli? He thinks it means you have three different pots. So you dip it in one pot, dip in the second pot, dip it in the third pot. So we're not sure. Maybe the whole bliya did come out the first time. Maybe it didn't. And then you dip it a second time in another kli. Maybe now it did come out. You dip it three times. So it's like a sveka derabbana lakula. Sveka but the ein litza sveka derabbana. That's how Rabitzel Aponavizhe explains. There's a little sefer called Zecha Yitzchak. Rabitzel Aponavizhe was a super genius 100 years ago. He was a goyin agoyin. He had hoiroes out of this world. And the Rabbanim, he was good for Rosh Yeshiva, but they didn't like the way he passed Kanshalos. So he has in his sefer a whole tshuva to be Mekel. He was a big Mekel, known as a big Mekel. So in his sefer, Zecha Yitzchak, a collection of letters that he sent to different Rabbanim, so he has a tshuva about this. He said, that's what it means three times. If you do Agol Gimel Pamim, it's like a Sveka de Rabbanu Lekula. I also lead to Sveka de Rabbanu Lekula Lechatchili, not allowed to create it. Yeah, but it's an Issa de Rabbanu Kal over here, so that's why we're Mekel. So the tour quotes the Baal HaItur that if you have any trefa kli, I cooked chaza mamish in the kli. So that's a nisa de rabbana, that's a nisa de raisa. Tam kika is a din de raisa. But if I wait till it's ene ben yomo, so lo yosa tar, look, there are bas yoma. Gederish ene ben yomo is only yosa exera ene ben yomo, ota ben yomo. So it's only exera. So the Baal HaItur says that's a nisa de rabbana kal. So in any trefa kli, you never have to throw out a trefa kli cheres ene ben yomo. You have trefa dishes that are China dishes, the Baal HaItur comes to save you. He comes to the rescue. You don't have to ever throw out any tray for china dishes or tray for earthenware pots and pans. You just wait till it'll be Eina Ben Yomo. Eina Ben Yomo is Anissa de Rabban and Kal. And then the Yerushalmi says, Hagolah Gimel upon him is good. So the Torah doesn't agree with the Baluita. The Torah says, no, the Yerushalmi only says it on Trumas Chutz Laretz. Or maybe Trumas Bismanas and Eretz Yisrael is Kal. Anissa de Rabban and Kal. And we apply it, the Shulchan Aruch applies it to Bishalakam and Pasakam. It's also Anissa de Rabban and Kal. It's not really Macholas Asur. But to say Eina Ben Yomo, Ata Ben Yomo, it started off as Anissa de Raisa. That's not an Issa de Rabban and Kal. So the Torah disagrees. So Reb Kevege has a tshuva. What if it's earthenware and it's already not only Eina Ben Yomo and you're going to do Gim HaGol, Gim HaPamim, a whole year went by. So there's a tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi that the Pesach Tshuva quotes there at the beginning of the second Chelek. That simon about Neisen Tam Lev Gam. I forgot already what simon it is. Kuf Gimel? Kuf Gimel, that's one simon. But I think there's a simon there also. I think this two here, simon kuf chav beis, is also about nois and tam levgam. It's in kuf gimel, wherever you say. Then it's repeated again, kuf chav beis. So I think this tour, b'shem baluita, is in kuf chav beis. That any trefe klish, ain't a ben yomo, if you do agola gimel pamim, is good. And the tour says we don't accept the baluita. So Rabbi Kevege writes, what if you wait a whole year? So there's a gemara maseches avodah zarah, the end of avodah zarah. It says if you have barrels that the Nochem used to store Stam Yenam. So, Mitzaynin. So it shouldn't be Balea, but it's Kavishka Mevushal. The Stam Yenam sits there for 24 hours, so the barrels are Balea. So then you have to kasha the barrels, you have to do Hagol. If you want to use those barrels for kosher wine, you have to do Hagol. So, so the Mishnayis and the Gemara said in the end, the Masechus Avodah Zarah, if you have Yishun, Yud Beis Chodesh, if you emptied out the barrels and they're sitting empty for a whole year, a full 12 months, so then we assume whatever trefa blia there already evaporated into thin air, you don't have to kasha the trefa barrels at all. So the Chacham Tzvi assumes that this kula in the Gemara applies to any and every trefa kli. The only time they made exerid the Rabbanan, Eina Ben Yomo, Ata Ben Yomo, that's if it's Eina Ben Yomo, but if it's Eina Bashnasai, it's already a year went by. So just like by Stam Yenam with Mekel, we assume that the Bli and the Doifne HaKli have already disappeared and vanished into thin air, who are denied by Yenam Trefe Kli. The other Paskim say it's not so. The Gemara only has it by Stam Yenam, and you have a lot of Kulas by Stam Yenam. Stam Yenam is only Mishum Chasnus, the whole Gzer is only Mishum Chasnus, and the Baita is like Bishalakim, like Pasakim, it's an Isa de Rabban and Kal. But by a real Trefe Blia, you shouldn't be Mekel if you wait a whole year. So Rabbi Kevege says, so if you have a fleshik set of dishes that hasn't been used for 12 months, so according to the the Gzeir Eina Ben Yomo Ata Ben Yomo was never introduced on Haterabol. And then you're going to do Hagolah Gimel Pamim, so according to the Baluit, there is Mutter. And then it's already after 12 months, it hasn't been used. So you have three Tzadim Lahaklis. Even though we neither accept the Baluit, nor do we accept the Chacham Tzvi, nor do we accept the Ra'or. But Betzirif, all the three kulas together, and it's a Hefsed Mammon, so it can be Mitzarif all three together. That's Atzirif Hashitas. That's the classical style of Psak. The Poskim always have. Whenever you have a Machlekes, even though we pass in one way, but you can always be Mitzarif, the Shita HaMekila, if you have other Snifim Vahokum. Chaim Balozhin has in one of his Chuvas in the Chutam Shulash, there's a Sefer called Chutam Shulash, a collection of Chuvas by the three Rashi Yeshiva in Balozhin. So the first third of the Sefer is Chuvas per Amchaim Balozhin. Some of the Chuvas per Amchaim Balozhin are printed in the Beis HaLevi, because the Beis HaLevi was a descendant of Amchaim Balozhin. That was called Beis HaRav. That was the big Yichus in Lithuania to be a descendant of Amchaim Balozhin. So a few Chuvas are printed in Beis HaLevi, the end of Chelek Aleph, and many of them are printed in the first third of the Chutam Shulash. Then you have the Chuvas by the two sons-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhin. One is Rav Blazer Ritcher, he was a Rosh Yeshiva after Rav Chaim Volozhin passed away, and one is Rav Hillel, another son-in-law. The people usually only read the Chutam Shulash for the Chuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhin, because he quotes things from the Vilna Gaon. So one of the lines that he has in the Chuva, the history books pick this out. You don't even have to go to the learners. The history books quote this line, that Rav Chaim Volozhin says he heard from the Gaon, you should never be Mitzarev Shitas. Whenever there's a machlekes and we pask him one way, it's always get pask and finish. So what is there to discuss? You can't be mitzav to Chacham Tzvi with the Ra'or, with the Baluita. You don't pask like the Chacham Tzvi. You don't pask like the Ra'or. You don't pask like the Baluita. Goodbye. So there's nothing to be mitzav. 0 plus 0 plus 0 is 0. There's nothing to be mitzav. So that's probably because the Vilna Gaon, the children of the Vilna Gaon, write in the Hakdamah to the Bi'ur HaGaon Arachaim that their father, the Vilna Gaon, was so convinced they had Raya's Berura She'en Aleim Tshuva from the Gemaris on every single Machlekes HaRishayin. He had a Raya Berura from the Gemara, he had an absolute Hachra. If you have an absolute Hachachah from the Gemara, so of course there's nothing to be Mitzar. And the other Poskim were not so convinced that everything, anything is absolute. So they treated every machlokes as there is some validity to the other sheet. We don't accept it, but maybe it is right. In the back of our minds, we always think maybe it is right. So if you have a tziruf of A plus B plus C, you have the Ra'or with the Balu Ether, with the Chacham Tzvi, even though we don't accept any one of them, Bifnei Atzma, but the tziruf of all three together, we would accept. So that's Rabbi Kivega has such a tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva quotes that tshuva is Rabbi Kivega. So Moshe Feinstein has such a similar tshuva, where he talks about the grandparents passed away and they had the kosher dishes, but no one has been using the dishes. The dishes on the basement for the last 20 years, no one used it. No one remembers whether the fleshig dishes are milchig dishes and the china dishes. So what's the din? So he says, well, according to the Chacham Tzvi, it's after 12 months, so you don't have to worry about it. And if you'll do Hagolah Gimel Pamim according to the Baluita, it's good enough. But we don't pass like the Chacham Tzvi, we don't pass on the Baluita. But he says, we don't know if it's Fleshig and Milchik. He's talking about the Rabbanon Kal, the Rabbanon on top of the Rabbanon. You don't know. So, fine, also leads us fake the Rabbanon be a time. It's the Chatzir of Hashitas over here. Could be you don't have to kasher it at all. So, and it's a suffix whether it's Fleshig and Milchik. Okay. So, if you're a multimillionaire, so throw it out. Sell it to the Goyim. But if it's a shtikel hefsed mamon, it's a valuable set of china dishes, and you're not sure whether it's fleshig and milik, so kedai him lismach alein. So this tshuva of Rab Moshe is meyusad on tshuva's Rabbi Kivega, which is quoted. He quoted by the Pischei Tshuva. Rab Moshe didn't invent it. This style of psak comes from the Rabbi Kivega.
Could you join us for the Rebbeinu Tam to say that if one of your family becomes chametzik during Pesach, that or right after Pesach, then by next year, you'll be able to use it without having?
Is she considered that Hatera Bala?
Right.
I don't know. Got to think about that. I don't know. So let's say wait another year. I don't know. You want to ponder? Okay.
I think we said earlier in the semester by Yi Nesef, was something you could fill up the barrels 3 times of water and let them sit for 24 hours.
Right.
Does that have any connection whatsoever to the Hagala Shalosh Pam by Kitaris?
I don't think so. Mila Yira Gimel Yomim is the Gemara by Bli of Stam Yainam. Yeah. Hagala Gimel Pamim.
They're both Durbanan Kalim. We both have we're doing something 3 times, which wouldn't usually work. Mm-hmm. Is there any connection there?
I don't think so. Abitzel Eponavish writes that the Hagolah Gimel Pamim of that Yerushalmi that's quoted La'alocha by Bishol Akam and by Tshuma Bizman Hazeh, Hagolah Gimel Pamim is based on a Sfeika de Rabbanu Lekula. That maybe the first Hagolah worked, maybe the second Hagolah worked, if not, maybe the third Hagolah worked. So it's a Sufik. Since the whole din is only the Rabbanu Kal, a real Lisa de Rabbanu, also leads to Sfeika de Rabbanu Lekula be Yodayim. But it's a nisa de rabbanon kal, so if you do a gal gam pam, you have a right to assume that maybe sveka de rabbanon lekula. But the other one is not a sveka de rabbanon lekula. The other one is a heter. But since the whole belief was only bitzainen, so this hagal gam pam works even if it's a belief bechamen. And the other one, the mila v'yiri gimel yamim, only works if it's a belief bitzainen. It's a different thing. I don't think it's related. The milavir gimel yamim, we assume that kibola kach polto. If the bliyav is b'emtzos hamayim, then you need hagolah. If the bliyav is b'emtzos hamayim, then you need libun. If the bliyav is ayde kovish, then you can do a haflote. Then kibola kach polto, you can be maflitit ayde milavir, which is also kovish. So that's what some rishonim quoted by the Bessias. So some rishonim were led to believe that you see from this din that the Kovish Gemavushal needs 72 hours. And we don't pass like that. We pass in Kovish Gemavushal only need some whole 12 hours. We pass in 24 hours. But it says Kibbalah Kachpolto. So the answer is no. Kibbalah Kachpolto just determines which form of kashering, whether Hagolah or Libun or mila v'yiroi. But once you determine what form of kosherization you need, then it goes on its own regulation. So then you need mila v'yiroi gimel pamim each time 24 hours. But that's, we assume that that'll get out the bliya. That'll get out the bliya. It's not based on sveika derabanan klal. We assume it only works by hatera bala. That mila v'yiroi gimel yam, there's a shach in the second chelik yeridei. When the Shulchan Aruch has a whole section about Heksha Klei Hayayin, if a goy used the kelim to process non-kosher wine, they always do it like that. A lot of the wine companies, they make trefa wine all year long, and they want to make a kosher run. So you have to kasher all the kelim. So you need Hagala, you need, so then sometimes you need Mili Viri Gimayam. So the Shach there, in the second Chelik Yeredeh, by Heksha Klei Hayayin, talks about it. With this Mili Viri Gimayam only works if it's a Bliya B'tzayin. So what if you had trefa Chazer Shmaltz, was Nivla? Also he says, Mili Vir Gimel Yamun will work, even though it's a Klicheres, it'll work. So he says, no, Mili Vir Gimel Yamun only works by Stam Yenam, because it's Isa de Rabbanan Kal, or by Hetera Bola, and Chametz B'Pesach we consider like Hetera Bola. Chametz Karama Pesach we treat like Hetera Bola. But by really Sura Bola, the Mili Vir Gimel Yamun wouldn't work. Hagol Gimel Paman would work, even by Sura Bola. That's the Yerushalmi, it works if it's an Isa de Rabbanan Kal. I don't think they're related. I don't think so. Okay, Siman Tzadik we're going to skip. I just mentioned there was one important Taz in Kut Yud Beis that we spoke about. The Taz says that Kchal is only an issue. The whole Siman Tzadik is Kchal. We don't eat Kchal. The whole Kchal is an issue of the Rabbanim because Kchal of Mesa. Kchal is only milchik if you milk the cow while it is alive. But if the milk is still in the udder, and then you only remove it from the udder after mesa, the behema died, or you shechted the animal. The shot says, lav dav kechol mesa and peizayin. It says, either nishchato or mesa. Loishna mesa, loishna nishchato. So the whole topic of kral is only an issue of basa b'chol ha'drabon. So the Taz wants to say, if it's only the rabbanon to begin with, and then you have episod kovish kemevushol, it only became Bazakhal, so it's a double derabbanan. So double derabbanan is a gzera l'gzera, and there's no gzera l'gzera. The Kudas HaKesu says it's against the Nafani Gemara. Or the Dogma Bava says. Dogma Bava says against the Nafani Gemara. And the Shach just says he's not right. You don't have a right to declare on your own that something is a gzera l'gzera, because the Gemara will often say Kulachad gzera ninu. And he quotes the Taisus on the first daf, Resh Perakal Abasar, where the daf in the Gemara talks about. The Gemara is talking over there about Gzera l'gzera. The chicken is only basa b'chol ha'derabbanan. Shalala halas ala shulchan is only a gzera. Maybe you'll make it into basa b'chol. So shalala halas ala shulchan is a machlek satanaim. Does it apply to chicken? It'd be paskin, yes. I let it be a gzera l'gzera. So the Gemara has a discussion of gzera l'gzera over there. So Tesis says, ein l'damas, one gzera to the other. It's hard to tell when it's a gzera l'gzera, when it's not. Okay, really, we explained. Really, the pasha should have been a trade derabbanan here. Should have been a trade derabbanan. Trade derabbanan is a lower level iser than a chad derabbanan, but it's still not the same as gzera l'gzera. Gzera l'gzera means the motivation to introduce the gzera derabbanan is because we're concerned someone's going to violate an iser derabbanan. So that's insufficient cause to make a gzera. You have no right to make a gzera if it's a milsad l'ashchich, if it's a farfetch chashash, that someone's going to violate an aver. Once in 100 years, someone's going to be mechal shams. You have no right to make a gzera. We don't allow people to shake a lulav. When Sukkot falls on our Shabbos, we're afraid a lot of people are going to be Mechal Shabbos. A lot of people are going to be Mechal Shabbos. But if the whole concern is so far-fetched, they have no right to make exeris. So here also, you have a real concern, but the whole concern is people are going to violate an Aver Derabbanan. Aver Derabbanan is insufficient cause to introduce exeris Derabbanan. You have to be concerned someone's going to violate an Issa Derais. So that's if the whole gzera l'gzera, the whole gzera, the motivation to make the gzera was, you're afraid someone's going to violate an isa derabbanan. But if you have two separate gzeras, each gzera is made otu adaraisa. We declare chicken is fleshig because otu flesh, that's a real concern. Then we declare cholav meisas milchig otu regular cholav. So each gzera was nigzar otu adaraisa. Here they happen to collide together. I'm cooking kral with the milk and the kral with chicken. So that's not a gzera l'gzera. That's a trade derabbanan. There shouldn't be a gzera l'gzera. So that's the svara that in the Nachlas Yankiv, he has a tshuva about that. Nachlas Yankiv starts off, it's the tshuvas of the Nesivit, Yankiv Melisa. And then they didn't have so many tshuvas from Yankiv Melisa, so the rest are from the grandson. So I think this one is on the grandson. It's not from But other, the Pnei Yeshua writes, and the Svar Semes writes, and many Rabbi Kivegi writes, and many Poskim write this Svar. It's not the same. There's a one concept, there's one concept that trade the Rabbana. So this Shach is a this Taz is a Shveri Taz. The Taz Yud Beis, in the end of Sadik, a Shveri Taz. The Pashtus says that that's not a Gzera. Pashtus says that that should be a trade the Rabbana. Okay, we're Yotze Simit Sadik with that. Token Taz. Okay. Let's see, Simit Sadik Aleph.
Is that considered
Chol of
Stam if somebody is
Makben Achol of
Israel?
Yeah, if a person is Makben Achol of Israel, so see, Rav Moshe holds a Chol of Akum, Chol of Stam, Bizman is Ezmuta. So those who are Machmer, so some of them hold Rav Moshe is wrong, and it's also Medina. Others do it as a Chumrah. So if you're only doing it as a Chumrah, so then there are those who are Mekel on Bliyas Kelim. You're not Bukhayev to be Machmer Bliyas Kelim. And others hold no, it's absolutely wrong, and they hold Medina it's also, so there's going to be a problem of Bliyas Kelim. They're different Lubavitcher, a Machmer, even a Bliyas Kelim. And many are only Machmer Chol of Stam, they're not Machmer Bliyas Kelim of Chol of Stam. So if they'll visit by someone who cooks Chol of Stam, and the person will give him some soup that was cooked in a Milchik pot, so they'll eat the soup. They won't be concerned about the Bliyas Kelim, because they're only Machmer on the Chol of Akum Itam Minig. Chumra Amidus Chassidus. If the Milchik pot will be in a Ben Yomo, so then it doesn't make anything treif. Even if you cook Chazer Shmaltz and it's in a Ben Yomo, so it doesn't make anything treif. The Shaila is, if it's in a Ben Yomo, I have a pot that's kosher, but I know that they used it for Chol of Stam. But it's in a Ben Yomo from Chol of Stam. And I'm Machmer on the Chol of Stam. So am I permitted l'chatchila to cook in the pot? The Gemara says, "Gzeir ene ben yom ota ben yom." So the Nadi Behuda has a tshuva where he holds, "Gzeir ene ben yom ota ben yom was only instituted if the bliya and the kli is a tray for bliya deraisa. But if the bliya to begin with is only a tray for bliya midirabbanon, so you're going to make noch a gzeir l'gzeir, you're going to make a gzeir ene ben yom ota ben yom on a pot that's only tray for midirabbanon to begin with, the itain is that that's like a gzeir l'gzeir. Going to what we just explained, it shouldn't be a gzeir l'gzeir. Should be a trade the Rabbanon. But that's what the Nadi Behuda time is. He thinks that they never made the Chumra of Gzeir, Ein, Ben Yom, Atam, Yom. Was only instituted if the Treif of Kli is Treif Menatur. If it's only Balei or Treif is the Rabbanon, the Gzeir wasn't introduced. And he says, of course, this is in disagreement with the Shach. The Shach writes, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes later in the Hilchas Basav Chalav and Hilchas Darubis, when you have a Treif of Kli, even Ein, Ben Yom, Atam, Ben Yom, the Gemara, the Leah Staff, and Abad Izo. So the Shach writes without any mocker, two line Shach. Loishna isa deraisa loishna isa derabon. So on the side of the page, Rav Shlomo Egan, the Gili Mashur, tells you, look at the Nadi Behuda, he has a whole tshuva, and he attacks the Shach. He thinks he has a Gemara Avodah Zarah that indicates faker, that the Gzeir Enim and Yom, Otam and Yom was only instituted if the Bliya Melech Atchila was deraisa derabon or not. So the minig is like the Shach. Minig Olam is like the Shach. Even if it's treif derabonon, it's still a Gzeir Enim and Yom, Otam Yom. But then there's another Shach, later in Kuf Lamed Ches or something, right in the second Chelek Yeredelia, by the Hechshel Klei Hayayin. So the Shach quotes a tshuva from the Marival, Mari Ibn Leiv. Once every 50 pages, he'll quote the Marival. So the Marival has a tshuva where he says the only Gzeir Ein Ben Yom, Ota Ben Yom only applies if it's a real treif of Bliya, either treif derais or treif derabbanon. Says like the Shach. What if the whole treif of Bliya in the first place is only mitam minik? Let's say kidneys. Shach isn't talking about kidneys, talking about something else. What if something is only also mitam minik? Like kidneys, I'll say. So then he says, once it's ein ben yomo, then there's no gzeira ein ben yomo. You're not mechuyev to make a gzeira on a minik. So that's a shaila. Those who refrain, those who abstain from taking chol of stam, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva. So those who don't use chol of stam, do they hold the medina and sauce, or do they do it as a chumrah? So if they only do it as a chumrah, then the Shach quotes the Marival. That's the din. That's mekubal. If the whole bli in the first place is only asa mitam minig as a midas chasidus, so then there's no gzeir ene ben yom otam yom. According to Nadi Behuda, even if it would be more common than that, even by nisa de rabbanon, there's no gzeir ene ben yom otam yom. But we don't follow that Nadi Behuda. We follow the little Shach. He says loishna bliya deraisa loishna bliya de rabbanon. But those who are machma and chol of stam that they hold medina it's aser, they hold against Rav Moshe medina it's aser. So then, there should be a gzeir ene ben yomo, the ben yomo, lechatchila. But the Eved, But yeah, but it does nasa. Ein minyama does nasa. But l'chatrila, they shouldn't cook kosher food in a pot that has a bliya. Ein minyama of chol of stam. If they think, if they're following those shitas of all, then it's really awesome medina.
This is a din of tafshul shel chol or like chol. Like, could you eat flesh except for that?
If I cooked parva soup in a milchik pot.
In the case where you have just the equipment. We have a hechsher in the industry. We have a hechsher and they clean it out, obviously, with water, and then they put the other stuff.
I mean, a person is fleishig.
Yeah.
And then he wants to have, say, not a lot of milchiks within 6 hours. What about to eat? What about to eat soup that was cooked in a milchik pot? I don't think you have to wait 6 hours for that. I don't think you have to wait 6 hours. You have to wait 6 hours to have real milchiks. Just like the Ramos says. If you had soup that was cooked in a fleishig pot, you don't have to wait 6 hours. So if you're fleishig and you want to have soup that was cooked in a milchig pot, the pashtus, it's not banat. Mikra din, the thing is, you can pour in whatever it is. You can pour in the opposite. You can pour in the butter if it's cooked in a fleishig pot. So we're choshish for the Rav Shem Rash, but there's a limit how far you're choshish. You know, I'm choyif to be machmer that that's called eating milchigs in the middle of the 6 hours. Pashtus is that's not included in the chumrah here. There's a limit how far you go with these chumras. Okay, that's a lot of the discussion. Rabbi Kivega on the Siman Peches and Peites also has Tzadim al Hakel. You don't have to combine all the chumras together. There's a limit how far you machman this, machman that, machman the other thing. You don't have to combine all the chumras together. If one is considers chalabakam asamidina, so then if it's a ben yoma, so it's tray, so you have a tray for bliya into your soup, so you can't eat it. If the pot is ain't a ben yoma that they cook the chalabakam in, so ain't a ben yoma b'dieva does nasa. Are you allowed to cook lechatchila in the pot that's ain't a ben yoma? So the Shach says, even if you only cooked an Isa Derabana lechatchila, you're not allowed to use it for an Eina Ben Yoma. If you only cooked something that's only Asa Mitam Minig, then he quotes the Marival, Eina Ben Yoma, Ata Ben Yoma doesn't apply. So that depends. The Lebavitcher, Amachma, they treat Chola, Vakum, as man as the Mamish, that it's Medina. And many others are only Machma, but Torah's Minig, not Medina. The mice in Europe, until the war, most of the religious Jews were machmer not to have chol avakum. They were machmer to have someone go to the farm and watch when the guy was milking the cow and bring the milk home. So the minig was lahachmer. The shayla is, was that the din, or was that only a minig even in Europe? That was a shayla in Europe even, whether the chol avakum that everyone was choshish for, whether that's medina or that was a minig. Okay, let's see Tzadik Aleph. Tzadik Aleph, we covered much of the Gemaras that are quoted in Tzadik Aleph. Yeah, there's a Mishnah in Chulin that says, Torer Otam Basar Gvina B'mit Pachas Achas V'bat Shelo Yigil Zeh B'zeh. You're allowed to wrap it up. I'm traveling on a trip, and I'm going to wrap up cheese, and then with a cloth, and then the same cloth, I'm going to, a towel, and later I'm going to wrap up flesh in the same cloth that has cheese. They're not touching each other, so there's no chash. What if by accident it turns out that they were touching each other? So the Gemara says, tzaynin, but tzaynin, there's no bliya, but still you have to, tzarech hadoch, you have to wash it off. So I'm going to wash it off. Sure. So maybe it's mutar l'chatchila to wrap up the flesh. I don't want to wrap so much, such a big towel. I'm going to put the chicken next to the flesh. They're going to be touching each other, wrap it all up together in the same shmata. And then when I arrive at my location, I'll wash everything off. So that says in the Shulchan Aruch, no. It's mashma from the Gemara, that's siv base. Kol midi didboy hadoche kigon, v'nech psar het tzaynin, v'karvish alisa tzaynin. When the flesh is going to touch the cheese, mamish, directly, and the Gemara says, then you need hadoche. So there's a chashash that he may forget to do the hadoche. Unless the nature of the food is such, let's say it's raw flesh. And he's going to cook. He has to cook the flesh. And the balabasta, whenever she cooks flesh, she always washes it off first. She was getting bang cover because she's going to wash it off. So then there's no chashash. You don't always wash off cheese. If you're going to have the hard cheese touching the flesh is raw, so you're going to wash it off. The cheese is probably not going to wash off. When you have cheese, you make your cheese, you cook your cheese, eat it the way it is. But if you have flesh and milk touching each other, and you know that later on ultimately going to have to wash it off anyway, then there's no chashash. But if it's not necessarily going to be washed off later, then we don't allow you lechatchila tzasa to do it together, because it exerit, then he may forget to wash it off later on. Here the Bir Agro and Beis quotes from the Mishmeres Habayis, Mem Hei Beis. Mishmeres Habayis written by the Rashbo. The Ra'or wrote the Berak Habayis to disagree with the Torah Habayis by the Rashbo. And then the Rashbo wrote the Mishmeres Habayis to defend what he wrote in the Torah Habayis. Mishmeres. He's defending what he wrote in the Torah Habayis. So Mishmeres Habayis says, and often a pasuk in Chumash, Vayesimu hachalovim al hachazais. They put the chalev on top of the chazav. The chazav is shok the kohanim. The chalev is nikter al gabi hamizbech. No one's allowed to eat it. So how are they allowed to put the chalovim al hachazais? I should be a chashash. He may forget to wash it off. The answer is because the chazas are raw. And you're going to wash it off. Everybody washes off the flesh before you broil it. That's enough of the pasuk, arrive from the pasuk. So the Vilna Gaon says, "Was hakta achayni? What did he bring a rye from a pasuk in Chumash? The whole sif is talking about gzeira derabbanan. When matan Torah was given, there was no gzeira over here. You're not allowed to have flesh and cheese touching each other because you may forget to wash it. The meduber is gzeira derabbanan. So how can you prove from a pasuk in Chumash? Unless you say like the Taz that we mentioned." When we started learning, so we were discussing basav chalav is asav anor. So we were discussing different forms of isurianda. Then we were discussing schare b'macholas asuris. Even though you have a nevela treifa is muta b'anor, but to be in the non-kosher meat business, I have a non-kosher butcher shop, and all of my customers are non-Jews. I'm not in violation of lifnei b'disiti michshol. All the customers are non-Jews; they're not Jewish. But there's a din, you're not allowed to do schar b'macholos asuris, unless it's nizdamnu. My rich uncle was in the business and he died and I get a birush and it falls on my lap. So what are you going to say? I'm not allowed to sell a business. Nizdamnu lo. So yeah, I have to sell a business as soon as I can. Or let's say I went hunting. So I set up traps. So I was interested in hunting deer in order to eat the meat, in order to sell to shecht it. And then accidentally I caught a non-kosher horse. So even though it's schar b'macholos asuris, I'm allowed to sell it. It's nizdamnu. I wasn't really interested in trapping this non-kosher animal. I was really interested in trapping kosher animals. So nizdamnu is mutav. So that's a machlekes achreinim. That iser of schar b'macholos asuris, is that an iser deraisa? Is that an iser rabban? Sounds very funny that nizdamnu is mutav to do it b'kvis is us. It sounds like a dead giveaway that it's an iser derabban. So that's now the haskamas rabba achreinim is that it's only an iser derabban. It's not a Nisa Deraisa, but the Taz was in the forefront of the battle. That's in the 16th, 1700s. That's when they were fighting it out. By the time it came to 1800s, it was already determined that it's only the Rabbanim. So the Taz says, don't you have an offer in a Rambam that the Rambam says the Scharba Macholos Asur is a Nisa Deraisa? Because the Rambam writes not like Taisus. Taisus in the end of Perek Merubah writes that Scharba Macholos Asur is only mutter if it's not the Shem Achila. Let's say I'm buying pigs and I'm going to sell them because they want to use the pig skin to make footballs out of it. They're not interested in using the ham. I want to catch mink in order to make fur out of it. Not interested. No one's going to eat the flesh. I'm really interested in the fur. So if you're interested in something else, I raise horses that they should do horse racing for a different purpose, not for achila purposes. So if it's for some other purpose other than achila, Taisus said there's no isa schar ma'achalas asuras, and then Yerushalmi says if it's only an isa derabbanan, there's no isa schar ma'achalas asuras. If the whole treifa thing is only treifa and derabbanan, then the Rambam has a third exception to the rule that Taisus holds beferish. Not so. Taisus in the last Amud Beis in Perek Merubah says that chaylev it's also to do schar bechaylev. I'm going to go to all the butcher shops where they cut out, they do nikar agid nikar chaylev. I'm going to buy all the chaylev from all the butchers. None of the Jews want to buy chaylev, it's also. I'm going to buy all the chaylev and I'm going to sell it to a non-kosher company and they're going to make treifa shmaltz out of it. So that's l'shem achila. If I'm collecting the chaylev in order to use it to make soap, that's not l'shem achila. So that's at the gemar. That's what Tosfos quoted the Yerushalmi. Not l'shem achila is muta. But if I'm going to collect everybody's chaylev in order to sell it to a goyish company to make real chazer shmaltz out of it, so that's chor b'macholos asuras. So you're not allowed to. So the Rambam writes chela from a kosher animal is muta b'schayra, chazer shmaltz is also b'schayra, macholos asur is also. One exception to the rule is chela. Why is chela the exception to the rule? One exception to the rule is not l'shem achila. One exception is only nisa derabanan. And the Rambam disagrees, but the Rambam says if it's chaylev, it's muta du schir. Why? Because the pasuk says you can do whatever you want. So the Taz says, what does it bring a right from a pasuk and chumash if the whole topic is only an isa derabanan? So you can't prove anything from chumash. In the days of Maimon Tahar Sina, Matan Torah, everything was muta. There was no isa schir macholos asuris. So from the Rambam would appear that he thinks schir macholos asuris is an isa deraisa, and chaylev is an exception to the rule based on xeris akasuv. So the Taz is pushing ahead. No, he says no. Even the Rambam agrees it's only an Issa Derabbanan. So how does he prove from the Pasuk Yosel L'chol Malacha that Chaylev is an exception to the rule? Zokta, the Taz comes up with this Einfal from his father-in-law from the Bach that the Chachamim had no right to make Gzeira to Asadov HaMafurish Bater. So there are 20 Taisvus in different 20 different Mesichtes. 10 of them say like the Taz and 10 of them say the Fair is not like the Taz. The Achrayim quote all the Taisvus. Can you make Gzeira Derabbanan? Can you Agadov HaMafurish Bater? So that's the shayla with this bira gro. The gro has a taina that ain't a raya. The minatara vaday muter. So what is he proving? Why you see machalav malachozois? You see, whenever it's raw flesh, and you're gonna have to wash it off anyway later on before you cook it. That there's no gzera derabbanan. You prove in the chumash that there's no gzera derabbanan. How can you prove in the chumash? Unless the Rashbob is assuming, like that Taz explained in the Rambam, that the Chachamim have no right to make Gzera Kenega Dovim Furish Batoir. So the fact that it says that this is Mutter by Simachalav Malachazas is a raya to this heter, that if it's raw flesh and you plan to wash it off anyway.
It's one you have to plan, you have to wash it off in the Chachis of the Chazas, because they certainly haven't been
kashered yet. Yeah, yeah.
But the case of the raw flesh that's carrying out the cheese, maybe it was already kashered, and so it's only likely to wash it off, but not Mutter to wash it off.
No, let's say you're going to have basar and gavina, you're going to wrap them together, and you're going to plan to wash it off in between.
Yeah, but the basar was already kashered.
Oh, so then...
So you don't have to wash it off.
Right, so then...
But the
basar,
the body of the kohanim have to wash it off, because they've got to kasher it.
Yeah, okay, right. So that was the Rashba's heter. Whenever it's vadoi, so they're going to have to wash it off anyway. Not for kasher's purpose. They're going to have to wash it off before they cook it. Everybody always washes off the raw meat before you cook it, before you broil it. You always rinse it off. So then you don't have to worry about the hashash gzeira de rabban. So that's the shaila, the bira gron base. Is the Rashbos raya in the Mishmar Sabbath? Is it a good raya or not a good raya? Okay. Then there's a long shach over here, Sivkot and Gimel has a whole discussion. What's a din I have, let's say, I have a trefa plate. I have a fleishigus soup bowl, and I'm going to eat Cheerios one day in the fleishig soup bowl with milk. So is that mutter or us? So l'chatchila, why should you do it? So we don't allow. You're stuck. For some reason or another, all you have is a fleishig soup bowl, and you want to have your Cheerios with your milk in that fleishig soup bowl. So we paskin, if you're stuck, if it should be kroy bialma, not bikvias, not every morning I'm going to have Cheerios and a flesh of soup, while I'm going to rinse it out with cold water. No, once in a long while, benizdamnu, so then we allow if it's everything is betzaynus. The Shach quotes the Ramon and the Toras Chatos, wants to make a distinction. How did the soup ball become fleshig in the first place? Did it become fleshig ayidei chamin, or did it become fleshig ayidei tzaynin? Was it fleshig ayidei kovish kemevushal? Because I sometimes leave fleshig soup in the refrigerator for 24 hours in that, so kovish kemevushal was only b'liyas tzaynen. Or did it become fleshig because I poured in burning hot fleshig soup into it, so it has a b'liyah b'chamen. So if it has a b'liyah b'chamen, then there's a svara to say you're not allowed to eat your Cheerios even b'kroy b'alma. What's the difference? Whether it became... We know that a b'liyah b'chamen is more intense than a bliya b'tzaynet. That's certainly so. We know that kula of mila v'yira gimel yomim, that if the bliya was b'tzaynet, they kavush, then you can get the bliya out. That's only if the bliya was b'tzaynet. If the bliya was b'chamin, so mila v'yira doesn't help. So obviously we assume that a bliya b'chamin is stronger than a bliya b'tzaynet. But the shah, so what? So it's stronger, so what? But what's wrong? B'kroy b'alma. He's not going to do it every single day. He's not going to do it once a week either. Once a month. That's a shaila. What's called Bikrai Bi'alma? What's called Kavua? What's called Bikrai Bi'alma? What's called Kavua? So they don't discuss it over here. In Hilchas Kriyashma, there's a Gemara in Brochus on Daf Tes, where the Gemara says, Pamim Shalikar Kriyashma Pamayim Bayom, and he's Yotzim Shem Kriyashma Shalayla and Kriyashma Shal Shachris. If he's going to say Kriyashma after Alois HaShachar before Hanetzachama, and then he's going to say a second time after Hanetzachama. So the both times is Bayom, after Alois HaShachar is ready Bayom. So the Gemara says, Pamim sometimes Yotzim. So that's quoted, the different opinions in the Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it's only Bikroi. And then he says, the definition of Bikroi means once a month, not more than once a month. So it could be that that's what the definition over here is. Let's say, I'm in business, and I have to go to non-kosher restaurants with my clients. I'm going to tell them, let's go to the kosher restaurant. They won't want to deal with me. So I have to take them out to Trefa restaurant. I can't eat anything Trefa in the restaurant. So I'm going to eat the kosher things in Trefa Kalim. Only Bikroi Bi'alma. So Tzainan, there is no Bliya, and Bikroi Bi'alma is Mutta. To do it, Kavua, the Ramah says, lady, you're not allowed to Bikroi, is Mutta. What says Bikroi? Once a week is called Bikroi. So it could be that the Shira is once a month. The only thing is, once a month, but I'm not using the same Kalim. Highly unlikely they're going to give me the same Kli. So that I can go to the Trefa restaurant every day. Because the likelihood is, the odds are 1,000 to 1 that they're not going to give me the same kli. So that's okay. That's also called Bikroi Bi'alma. Or they say, no, you're not allowed to go to the same restaurant more than once a month. I don't know. That's a shaila, what's called Kavu, what's called Bikroi. So here the Shach quotes such a Ramah. He wants to distinguish if the Bliya was Bechamin, then you're not allowed to do it Bikroi. Maza, what's wrong? What's the difference whether the Bliya was Bechamim, Bliya was Bechamim? So apparently the Ramah seems to say, Shaila, what do you mukhif to be choshish for this? The Ramah seems to be saying that really there is always a Bliya Bitzainen also. If you have your Cheerios, you milk with the Cheerios in a fleshig bowl that had a Bliya Bechamim, there is a Bliya that's going to go even though everything is Tzainen, but it's always going to be a Mashu. So it's always a violation of Eim Avat HaNisan L'Chatchil. If the fleshig bliya is only bitzayin and there was the super became fleshig, they kovish kemevushal. So then there's no bliya bitzayin. But if it has a stronger bliya, got a bliya bechama, we poured in the fleshig chicken soup or the fleshig soup, whatever, we poured in the hot cholent into this super when it was chamin, when it was reseach, so it has a bliya bechamin. So then now it's clean, there's no bien on the surface. Now I'm going to put in the Cheerios with the milk. So the Ramah is implying, there's room to argue the point and say that there's always a bliya bitzayin and mamish, but it's always mashu. It's always going to be bottled. But lechatchila, you're not allowed to do. Eim avat anis lechatchila. You're not allowed to do that. So that's a tzad lahachmer. That's what the shach gives the whole presentation. That's the long shach and dalet. And what is it? In gimel. The long shach and gimel. Then siv dalet is the din of tatoi gova. Machleg is Rabbi Shmuel, we paskin tatoi govar. And if tatoi is cold and the eloy is hot, so then the Gemara said, Ada make a lebola, and the only asik kadei klipo. So the Ramah has there in Sif Dalid that kadei klipo, of a mokam shabbos, it's all kadei klipo, and local food bishlakach muta b'riyevis. So that's the shach and ches, is masik on the Ramah. How can he say it's against so many different mekarvis and taisvis in the Shulchan Aruch? It's a pele. How can the Ramah say that? So the Kedegi refers you to the Morgan Avram in Hilchas Pesach, who says, no, this Kedei Klipa is different from all the other Kedei Klipas. If you have a Kedei Klipa by Maliach Kerasech is Kedei Klipa, or some Rishonim hold that Tzli is 2 days in Tesh, but the Tzli have the Trefa fish next to the Kosher fish, or the Trefa steak next to the Kosher steak, and they're touching each other, and they're both broiling. So it doesn't ask the Kedei. So we're Machman Asis Kedei Nitzila. Other Rishonim hold that only Yasis Kedei Klipa. So that's a real Kedei Klipa. That really Yasis Kedei, that's Medina. So if that gets mixed in, you got to have Shishim against it. But this Kedei Klipa, this is only a Chumre, this is only a Chumre. And if it's a big B'riyevet, so it does Nasa. So that's what we were discussing when we learned the Gemara. What was the Machlekes? Why don't they test it to see? So we said, maybe the Machlekes were absolutely, maybe the Machlekes in Din. Is this Turas, which way is Turas Abishol? So we pass in Tatoi Gova. So why does it ask a Kedei Klipa? So So that's what the Prima Gonim explains within Prima Gonim. Also quotes this Magen Avraham. So he says the Kadei Klipa is only a Chumrah. Mikra Adina should not say Kadei Klipa, because since you've established that it's not Derech Bishul, so Bliya Becham and Shalei Bederech Bishul really does nas. That's a Chumrah. Okay. Sunday I won't be able to be here. I have to go out of town for the yeshiva. So maybe tomorrow. Maybe we'll learn some more Yoredeya. We'll go right then. Sadekal. Okay.